to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good.
Thank you so much. And spirit is in the house. It certainly is. Good morning, Columbia CSL, and all of those of you who've come with questions and anticipation, intentions, and perhaps desires to be affirmed. You know, fall is my absolutely favorite season, not only because the colors are so bright, but because everything is releasing, emptying, laying itself bare to be prepared for its time of stillness and eventual renewal. I love to observe how freely leaves leave their host and flowers go to seed as the wind blows. And the animals instinctually forage that last bits of food for sustenance, you know, to hibernate and rest. Another season is gone, leaving us with memories, perhaps the summer of 2022 experiences that will warm us through the winter, and things in nature will change into another form of magnificence as creation continues its process. Ah, nature, you know, it's such a wonderful metaphor for the creative process that moves within us undisturbed by thought or choice. This unlimited spiritual intelligence always moving within itself to create out of itself in, through, and as us. How spectacular is that? So as we take this moment together to reflect on all that has gone before, not only in this year, which I reference, but in our lives as a whole, can we celebrate it all? Knowing that we are never alone and always supplied, we are free to explore, to remember, to shift perception, to deepen our gratitude and release emotions that keep us static, so that we may make the space in mind to be present in the experience of our own natural evolutionary process as the wind blows. You know, we have a common and deep need to express our true nature, don't we? It is our nature expressed as an inner knowing and desire that propels us all to learn to walk on the crooked path to our expression and therefore experience of the wholeness of our own being. And if we follow that crooked path, we are subjecting our divine spirit to our ego's permission to explore and be free to discover itself. Now, another way to say this is, to me anyway, by embracing our humanity, we get to know the spirit in all, as all, and ultimately develop the capacity to objectify the world, not take it in as a personal limitation, but an impersonal observation. Here we're poised to harness heaven, as it were, you know, readied to co-create our heaven on earth. Harnessing heaven. For me, it's about moving ahead, excuse me, despite appearances, influences, big or small, illness, perhaps, other major changes, despite spiritual rationalizations, bypasses, and even revelations. Boiled down to a simmer, our quest is to me to express and therefore experience the nature of God's love is us. Now, I think that I can share, for me, an idea that's brilliant, that brilliantly illustrates this by one of the many lovers of God. This gentleman, Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, was a monk, a very strict observance, and he was remembered for two things. First of all, he was a doctor of the church, and he had a very special devotion to the Blessed Mother. He wrote many great works, and one of these, De Amore Dei, of the love of God, Saint Bernard shows that the manner of loving God is to love God without measure, to love God without measure. And he gives us different degrees of love to illustrate what he means. So in the following, we use the term God to mean our true spiritual nature, the sacred place of the Most High that lives within us, our source presence. So he says the first degree of love is to love ourselves for our own sake. Now, some call this the law of self-preservation, and our preservation is important. It is a priority in our life. The second degree of love is where we love God for our own sake. Now, there have been many moments in our lives where we actually needed God. We get into tight and tough spots, have decisions to make, so we cry to God to help us in our need. The third degree of love is to love God for God's sake. All right, so going back, we said to love ourselves for our own sake. Then to love God for our own sake. And now we're at the third degree of love, to love God for God's sake. Here we recognize in our own lives that when we begin to love God more and more, that we have a visceral feeling connection with all life. And this is where the ego begins to diminish its hold on limited living. And the last and fourth degree of love, we realize that we live within the light of God's love, and we've been created out of love. So we love ourselves for God's sake. We take care of ourselves out of gratitude for all the Creator has and is and always will do. We show our love for God by being conscious of our thought, word, and deed. And loving ourselves in this fourth degree is different from loving ourselves for ourselves. And as we learn to love ourselves for God's sake, we begin to understand that we're enough, and therefore there is enough. Knowing that there is enough and that prosperity is ever coming to us in equal proportion to our ability to be grateful for all that we have now, we are invited to let go of that death grip on the picture of what that material something we see or even imagine looks like as being the answer to our prayers. And we keep open at the top in gratitude for the harvest, stating, always this, or something greater. So my exploration today is about celebrating all that has gone before. And when we can bring to our awareness and livingness all the moments that brought us right here to the choice to open and receive God as love, we are positioned in mind and heart to learn to love ourselves for God's sake. Now, this continues to be a process, doesn't it, of release and embrace as we welcome the allness of who we are in. And as we know, there will be all sorts of experiences on this spiritual path. Positive periods of development, those that are reassuring and comforting, which are an extremely important part of the process. But it's also important to realize that even positive experiences will fluctuate, right? And we will rarely, if ever, perceive a steady development of them, precisely because experiences are fickle by nature, right? They're temporal. Enjoying a series of good experiences does not and never will ensure that they will continue indefinitely. They may stop suddenly. Even so, they remain an important part of spiritual practice, not least because they help us to maintain our motivation to continue practicing. The way in which these positive experiences arise also varies enormously. You know, we may have some amazingly moving experiences, something like a spiritual awakening that appears to arise out of the blue. In fact, such experiences do not really come from nowhere, right? Psychic conditions will always precede them, although They appear to our conscious experience as independent. They can also vanish just as quickly as they appear. And at other times, certain experiences will grow over a period of time. They'll peak, and then they'll gradually fade away again. As spiritual practitioners, we are guided not to attach too much significance to these experiences. The advice is to resist the temptation to become fixated on the experiences themselves, because they will come and go. Each experience has to be let go of, or the mind will simply close down in its fixation on that experience, leaving little or no room for new experiences to arise. This is because our fixation will encourage worries and doubts to arise in the mind and interfere with the developmental process. If there is no fixation involved in the process, positive spiritual experiences will lead us to our spiritual realizations or true soul awakenings. In Buddhism, they distinguish between spiritual experiences and spiritual realizations. Spiritual experiences are usually more vivid and intense than realizations because they are generally accompanied by physiological and psychological changes. Realizations, on the other hand, may be felt, but the experience is less pronounced. Realization is about acquiring insight, wisdom. Therefore, while realizations arise out of our spiritual experiences, they are not identical to them. Spiritual realizations are considered vastly more important because they do not fluctuate. They evolve and build upon themselves. The distinction between spiritual experience and realization is continually emphasized in Buddhist thought, which says if we avoid excessively fixating on our experiences, we will be under less stress in our practice. And without the stress, we will be better able to cope with whatever arises. The possibility of suffering from psychic disturbances will greatly be reduced, meaning this energy, this collective race consciousness that is out and about in the world, right? This average of mentality that usually attracts the limited idea of who and what they are and therefore life is, will be greatly reduced, right, in our energy field. And we will notice a significant shift in the fundamental texture of our experiences. Fixation on our experiences is seen as another variation of fixation on the self, you see? So if we fixate on our experience, we fixate on self, the ego. So letting go of fixation is effectively a process of learning to be free, to be non-attached, to be non-identified with this thing or that thing, or this experience or that experience. Because every time we let go of something, we become free of it. And we can more gently and gracefully observe it, be curious, be in awe, be of wonder for what it is being, right? Without being attached to it or identify ourselves with it. Whatever we fixate upon limits us because fixation makes us dependent upon something other than ourself. And each time we let go of something, we experience another level of freedom. Yeah. Eventually, in order to be totally free, so that we can celebrate all that has gone before and all that is happening right now, as everything in the sacred cycle and circle of God, as all there is, we learn to let go of concepts, right? Ultimately, we do need to relinquish our fixation on the idea of concepts, of things being this or that. Because thinking of this binds us to a particular way of experiencing everything, because it keeps our perception static. And even spiritual experiences will not be given complete. The final step in the process of letting go, my friends, is relinquishing the idea that material conditions, corruption, and spiritual freedom are unequivocally opposed to one another, and that we have to give up the former to attain the latter. We cannot shut down how we perceive something, how we feel about something. We cannot close it off and expect to be open to embrace the awakening of spiritual realization. So while it is an important distinction to observe at the beginning of the spiritual journey, we have to overcome that duality. We have to transcend both the seduction of that pleasure that turns out to be so illusory, and the seduction of our spiritual goal that appears to be offering eternal happiness. I am going to say that again. We have to overcome duality. We have to transcend both the seduction of pleasure that turns out to be so illusory or temporal, and the seduction of our spiritual goal that appears to be offering eternal happiness. So once the pull between these two poles is harmonized and transcended, we are ready to return home, meaning return home to the truth of who we are, which is all that we are. All that we are, all that we have ever been, all that we will ever be, all that we are becoming as the point of consciousness in the choice in this present moment. Right. So along with releasing of the past, or better said, the hold we give the past over us, celebrating all that has gone before becomes a sacred complement to the power of being one with the source presence and its creative infinite intelligence that we can use, right, to co-create our desired reality. So together, the acceptance of what has gone before and the releasing of any limiting thoughts we have affirmed as our truth within that past are not complete without the inspiration and the joy and the embodiment of the gifts, of their gifts that has brought us to this moment now. As I said, the place where the creative intelligence is to be accessed and directed as co-creators of our reality to bring about this beautiful heaven on earth, allowing our minds, feelings, and bodies to make space for energetically all the pieces of pain to be released from the thoughts that have held them stuck. Celebrating all that has gone before allows us the time and space to pause and fall into gratitude for ourselves and awaken us to the power of the moment now, where we can experience feeling alive, receive the abundance of life through the intentions of having no intention of what abundance or love or peace or joy or truth needs to look like, but by being present in the receptive feeling of the wonder and awe of the Creator's palate. Because really, when we do give ourselves the gift of just being without intention, doesn't just everything seem really good, really full of possibility? So let's let go of these things like, you know, until I'm healed, until I'm successful, until I do this or that or become this or that, I cannot create this idea of heaven, earth. Bollocks. I don't know what generation that word came from, but it just came to me. Well, have you ever experienced, okay, stop and think, an unexpected flash when you viscerally felt and exclaimed, wow, look how far I've come. Look how I have grown, matured towards the person I remember aspiring to become. And follow that with the thought, yeah, I am so busy planning forward. I never really stop to celebrate and honor the journey I have created and the person I have become. Now, here's a question for all of you. Could you imagine celebrating all that has gone before without defense, judgment, or regret, becoming your go-to elixir? Could you imagine honoring yourself for the decisions, each and every one that you made, those you remember, those you don't, as the best decisions you knew how to make in the moment, which walked you to the very place you now stand as the balm that brings you home to yourself? Everything, every person we touch, every idea, every word we shape and express carries the corresponding energy of our self-identity. So who we identify ourselves as being becomes more preciously relevant than why we identify ourselves, and keeps our mind stayed on our inherent true nature as divinely human. I love these words author Mark Nepo wrote. He said, "It is said that souls intent on living will reach deep into their wound and bring out the fire living there, which out in the open turns to light. It is said that those intent on making things better will reach deep into their minds and bring out the fire there, which out in the open turns to truth. It is said that those who love, like rain, soothe every fire." We walk the spiritual path to discover the love we are by expressing the love we are. We walk the spiritual path to discover the love we are by expressing the love we are. And what I know to be helpful is to be mindful of the ebb and flow of this love as given and received. In all its joyously received attempts and its rebuffs, we can cultivate this mindfulness as we continue to choose living with compassion, heart, intention, and by ensuring that all our thoughts have safe passage, meaning that all our thoughts can be held, questioned, explored, expressed, accepted, and released or adopted in divine right timing for us. It is here we welcome change. It is here we welcome endings and new beginnings, the mystery, and have faith in the law of mind and action, which is always and forever making it so. We can mindfully celebrate and honor all that has gone before through accepting it, feeling it, being grateful for it, and through the practice of bringing conscious completion to what still has, consciously or unconsciously, power over us, disabling our natural evolution to be revealed and expressed. You know, whether it's a first love that we can't forget, which warms our soul, but that we constantly measure others up against, or whether it's a career move that we regret. If we apply this idea of conscious completion, we can build upon it, awakening into loving self for God's sake. Taking time for conscious completion is one of the many ways we create the world around us. For instance, a completion of a conversation celebrates what was good, right? What was good? It favors resolution and peace without skipping over what may have been difficult. And where resolution is yet unfinished, it provides room for acknowledgement of that as well. The emphasis of the process is on appreciation and on loving attention to our whole experience. So as I come to a close with you today, I'm going to offer you now a chance to practice conscious completion with me. You may use this process with a certain individual, an individual that lives within your home, your business, your spiritual community, your mind. It may even be a relationship with a past or a present spiritual leader in your community. Then again, you may wish to address God, the God of your understanding, or yourself. So if you can just take a couple of deep breaths and feel yourself becoming calm, calmer, and still. Feel your breath, the breath of God, which is always breathing us as we breathe as God, as one in God. Just moving through our beingness, our mind, our body, every cell. Just opening us. I'm going to now share 6 sentences for you to complete. So as you feel yourself becoming calmer and more still, bring that person to mind. And complete this first sentence. I miss. And the second sentence, I learned. And the third sentence, I appreciate. And the fourth sentence, I feel. And the fifth sentence, I accept. And lastly, going forward, my intention is. I'm going to just repeat them because this is an exercise you can always do to find conscious completion. When you're feeling stuck in any emotion or idea around something that you identify as important in your life, I miss, I learned, I appreciate, I feel, I accept, and going forward, my intention is. So may we celebrate all that has gone before and come to know the graceful ways of spirit. May we consciously acknowledge the completion of all our relations, whether they even be those we have turned away from, or may they be those sacred relationships that we have called into our lives, each and every one of them, to remind us and inspire us, no matter how they've turned out or how they feel. To live from our source presence. Everything, if we allow it and honor it and celebrate it, brings us back to ourselves. And may we intentionally bless our relationship with self, with each other, and with our fellow community members as we live open at the top, knowing that we are never alone, because divine love, that love of God, is always with us. And within us, creating safe passage for our mind, for our body, and our soul, with which to bless and to be blessed. And may we always remember to love ourselves for God's sake. For we are birthed to be the hands, the heart, and the voice of spirit on earth. We are a blessing. To this world. We are the hands, we are the heart, We are the voice of spirit on earth, and all we are, and all we have, is a blessing to this world. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, columbiacsl.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@columbiacsl.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.